Magpie's headquarters, day 163. Yes, I'm out of breath.
Not as fit as you were.
No, no. No, Lola wanted to go out. Anyway, she's now back in. But she's been quite quiet, apart from the chicken squeezing incident. How is everybody? Let me know. Running up the stairs at my age, not good for a woman. Tell you, definitely. She's got plenty to say. No. Right, why don't you go see if she's all right? Okay, I need the chat.
Proper chicken.
Yes. Oh, where's the chat? Oh, the chat's blank. Come on, come to mummy chat. Way, hello. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Deb. CQ, CQ. Hello, Debbie. Oh, Simon's in early. Wow. We're not live yet, are we? No, we weren't. Madam decided she wanted to go out. But we're getting there. Hello, Kim. I'm not sure we need to know why I'm out of breath, because I'm not as fit as I was. That's actually true. That's frightening, isn't it? But I was running up the stairs. That never ends well. Right. Isn't it? We've got something important to do today. Anybody any ideas? Come on. It's a bit rainy. It is. It's bucketing it down. It is bucketing it down. And it's still oppressively warm. Not joking. This heat's just not going anywhere. It's too humid. Speaking of Manchester, your captain isn't looking good. Oh, that was so funny, Jonathan. Mike has his finger on the pulse. Let's say that. Many years ago, when we had mobile phones, but you know the internet wasn't an always-on thing, stories would break, and I'd send Mike a text. He'd be like, "Oh, you know, he's got a text from me. It must be something important." But, you know, obviously lately with Always On Internet, he pretty much knows before I do. He's even got that app that goes on his watch. Football thing. I forget the name of it. But it tells him all the sports news. So I'm in the bathroom washing my hands yet again. And I can see from my phone that's propped up that there was a breaking news story about the fact he'd been found guilty. So I shouts through to him, "What are we going to do with our captain now?" So he said, "He's up in court today." I said, "Things have moved on, dear. He's just been found guilty." Mike was like, "What?" And it hadn't come through on his phone, so I got to tell him. Got two window fans and slept like a baby. Oh, that's good news, Debbie. Now, this importance of which we speak. According to my calculations and the notes we made when it was all talked about, I need to do something today. So let's find it. Here it is.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
So as long as my calculation is correct, it's Debbie's birthday, according to my calculations anyway. According to the dates that were handed over many, many weeks ago. So, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, Debbie. Oh, we do like a MacBite's birthday. We do. We've got lots coming up as well. So it's good that you're with us. We should all sing happy birthday. I know you won't hear everybody else, but trust me, they're singing. They are singing. We wouldn't have it any other way. Fade out on the name bit and add it to yourself like people do CGI Fridays. You do not want to hear me singing, Simon. Trust me on that one. Absolutely, definitely not. God, CGI Fridays. That was when we used to be able to go out, wasn't it? I remember that. That was one of Mike and I's first dates. Not the first date, but very close to it. I remember it well. I had a chicken salad. Oh, and then we took my dad there and he wanted something bargy onion. Good grief, it was the size of a football. And it was only the starter. Now, I've never seen my father overfaced until he saw this onion. And then, giddy. Giddy he was. Absolutely giddy with it. But he didn't finish that. He shared it with the rest of us because it was so huge. Hard to type on your phone. Never mind, never mind. We know what you mean. I actually have to have an autocorrect for Mac boats. That happens to me a lot. Are you coming in or not? Oh, treat time! Oh, wow, I'm having that. Bye-bye, Daddy. She all right?
Yeah, she's fine.
Cool.
She's had some dinner.
She's not been out for a walk yet.
No.
No?
No.
So she's probably giddy for that as well.
Probably. Although it's raining.
It is, and she's not usually keen on that, is she?
Shall I take her out?
Do you think she wants to go out? She's eating now. Well, she's eating a treat.
I'll leave her.
We'll see how she goes. Anyway, news on the Apple front today, as well as Debbie's birthday. We're doing the Debbie's birthday.
Happy birthday, Debbie.
Hooray! That is moving, isn't it? Oh, things are going strange on my screen. I don't like things strange on my screen. Yes, we've actually got some news from Apple. Worthwhile update type news. That is very unusual from Apple. Sometimes there's updates, but, you know, worthwhile. Not a word that you would use. But this one's a rather snazzy update to Final Cut Pro. There's the link. Big news is the proxy editing feature, which I would have thought that was already there by now. I must admit, I used to use Final Cut many years ago. And then I basically switched to ScreenFlow for 99% of my video editing, and then Camtasia. But they've added proxy editing, which might actually make Final Cut be a little bit more useful. What's strange about that is ScreenFlow supported proxy editing for over a year now, so very strange. The stock split was announced a while back. Today's news on stock and money is that Timmy's got lots of it, basically. Let's have a look.
Suspended sentence.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Jonathan's already discussed that bit. I said you managed to miss it somehow. Did Timmy... Yeah, it's Timmy's payout, I think. He got 278 million in stock payout. But he did donate 5 million of it to charity, which left him 273 million. I know we'd all like to win the lottery, but in all seriousness, if you had 273 million, what on earth would you do with it? There is such a thing as too much of a good thing, you know. You know, like ice cream when you overindulge.
Because, or chocolate.
Or chocolate. But 273 million left. Yeah, the 5 million to charity sounds a heck of a lot, doesn't it? But it's about 2%. In fact, it's less than 2%, isn't it? Less than 2%. You pay for someone to remove the wallpaper. Jonathan, you could actually afford to have wallpaper put up and taken down on a regular basis. You know, you could just sit and watch. What's happening with my iMac? Nothing at the moment, Jonathan. Working on it. It's going to be a busy week because obviously we're finishing on Friday for one of our laughable holidays, one of our laughable breaks. That's because it's Bank Holiday Monday next week, which means that Mike takes 4 days holiday. Yes, Lola, it's a chicken. And we get 9 days off. So that's why we have the weeks that we have. But I've obviously got to get ahead of the curve ready for next week. So to be honest, that's taken a lot of my time at the moment. But I'm hoping by Wednesday. That's tomorrow, isn't it? Oh, I'm doing well. I only know that because the bin went this morning. I've been at home that long, I barely know what year it is.
I'll need to bring it in.
You see, you've left the bin out as well. Somebody probably nicked it by now. Although, having said that, do you know what's fabulous about it? Teeing down. Nobody's out. There now isn't even any cars, which pleases me. And Lola, because she's got a chicken, obviously. You'd buy those sea forts and give one to me to broadcast from. It would be like Radio Caroline all over again, wouldn't it? That would be fabulous. Thing is, you know, like even buying those, you would still have a ton of change. And that's not like what he's worth. That's just the payout that he's had today. I would want to do so much good with that. You know, and okay, he gave 5 million to charity. I don't think it says who and what for. I think he could make a massive difference with that and still live incredibly, incredibly comfortably. Seriously comfortably. I give up with him, really, I do. If you're doing it just for the money and you're getting that kind of money, you know, another million isn't going to make much difference. At that point, it's just numbers, isn't it? I did remember saying a good few years ago, if I did win the lottery, I'd pay for the church roof, get the bishop off our backs. Bishop wants repaying. He lent us the money, you see, and he wants it back. Yes, I know it's his church. That's what I thought. But we're all supposed to be paying it back for him. Which, yeah, on the one hand, I'd pay the church roof off. But on the other, you know, the second we do, he's going to want us collecting for some other good cause. So we might as well just leave it and pay for our own roof. We'd take everybody on holiday or something like that at some point. Lola's making me laugh. She does love her chicken. She does. She's settled down now. She does love her chicken. Oh, a global MacBites meetup post-pandemic, obviously. If we had the forts, we could have like a staging fort, couldn't we, where you're in isolation for 14 days. Then you come and join the main gang. And we could live there forever. That would definitely work for me. Not sure how Lola would feel about that, though. Because there wasn't proper grass, was there? What was funny about those forts was I used to think I would love to go and visit one when we went there as a child, and I was only about 11 or 12, and I was fascinated by them. But they were abandoned then. I mean, obviously somebody owned them, but they certainly weren't residential. And you could go past them on your way either on a ferry to France or the hovercraft to the Isle of Wight. But stopping off and having a quick look, no, that wasn't an option. So it was good to see the videos, to be honest. The last time they were sold in 2012. But he's selling them on. Mad fool. If I had that, I would not be selling it on. I'd be living in it. Do you think Amazon can deliver there? Of course they can. They'd do it by drone, wouldn't they? What else would I miss? No, just the Amazon deliveries. Anything else can be done virtually or online. You donate to COVID therapeutics research. That's a good cause, isn't it? That is a good cause. Was it on one of those that Dirty Den did, a sporty game? I don't know. I vaguely remember the programme. I never watched it, but I do vaguely remember it. It might have been. Was it Fort Boyard, the programme was called? But I don't know if it was an actual fort that they used. She's going it without chicken.
She is.
Oh, dear. Been quite quiet with it all day, so obviously she's going for it now we're live. Fort Boyard. Yeah, let's look it up. Let's see if it was. I know it was a fort thing. What were they thinking with him, though? I've no idea how we're spelling that. Yes, it was a game show. A French game show. I'm at the same page you are. West coast of France. Was that the one with him? Because this looks like it's the French one. Does it say where? Good grief. There's loads of different versions and French versions, German. Lots of, it's still going in France. Wow. Later UK versions. No, it says a now refurbished set. Ah, Fort Boyard, pictured in 1989. No, it's the wrong shape. It does look very similar, though. And it also looks like somewhere where I would like to live. So, similar, I think, but I don't think it was actually one of those. Where exactly is it? There's no map of where that actually is, but look at the countries that have taken it. And there are pictures of the inside. So, yes, that could be turned into something beautiful, couldn't it? Oh, that is definitely what I would do if I won the lottery. I'd buy those three islands. Well, forts. Oh, yes, I quite like that. It's off the coast of France, so it's a little bit too near to Europe. Now we're Brexited. Oh, well. We could have our own. We could have our own. And, you know, given the fact you'd have three of them, I wonder if the guy who bought them bought the three in case he had a row with his missus and then needed some solitude in his man cave or his shed. And he had to keep a rowboat to get from one fort to the other. Good evening, Tracy. I would love to visit these fort things. I wonder if I would go stir crazy. I don't think I would. As long as I've got internet, I don't think I would. I shall have to start buying a ticket, won't I? There was a joke on that. Didn't Ned tell that one Sunday morning at Mass? He did a homily, which is a bit like a sermon, only not quite as serious. And he was saying about, you know, helping God to help you. And he told this joke about this guy who kept praying that he won the lottery. And this particular day, God answered him. And the guy's like stood looking at him and God says, come on, help me out and buy a ticket. Yeah, we get jokes at Mass as well. So I must start buying a ticket if I actually do want to win the lottery. I just think, you know, if you did have $273 million, there is such a thing as too much. But obviously, not for Timothy. I wonder what he's doing with it. Because remember, that's in addition to everything else. That's not actually his salary. That's his profit off the stock. More money than sense. Definitely more money than sense. So who's got Final Cut? Who's going to be trying this proxy editing? Do you know what proxy editing is? I'm guessing that's a thing. You get all territorial and throw tins at passing ships. That'd be brilliant. Oh, Spain's buying vaccines from your company, Mike.
Yeah, I've just seen that.
Oh. These are the vaccines that don't actually exist yet. Those ones.
They're in beta.
And that ends so well with software, doesn't it? Let's leave it be. Leave it be. Put it down and walk away. It's in beta. After the Lightroom fiasco, would you trust... Because you think of medical, don't you, as being like 100% sound. But they're just as open to little snafus in the researching as anything else.
Well, look at thalidomide.
Yep, thalidomide. The one that's going on, banging on here at the moment, Primados. There was the Operin case. There was the Myadeel case. It was one after the other. So although people are very... I don't know, actually... Now, I reckon it's probably 50-50. But, you know, in my gran's day, it was like, oh, I've not been put on this trial and I want to be on this trial. And then her sister-in-law was put on the trial. Obviously, you don't even know on a trial whether you're getting the placebo. But clearly, her sister-in-law wasn't, as she ended up with the peeling off of the skin thing. So she ended up in more pain than she was before. So these trials, not all are cracked up to be, but people were very, very keen to get on them. And I appreciate if, you know, you are in pain or you have a condition and this could possibly help, then you would be. But there is always the chance it will, that one, you won't, you'll end up in the same position. And there's the chance it will actually end up worse. So I reckon at the moment it's probably 50-50 whether, if there was a vaccine, people would actually take it. Having said that, there was a guy on the news this week, and I'm watching him, just incredulous. There was a name for it, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was, but it was a trial of a COVID vaccine. So it's not the thing they're doing at the moment. There was a name for it. It's a trial where you take the vaccine, and then they deliberately infect you with COVID, which is not what's happening at the moment. And he was up for it. And he said he was 33 and he was fit and he wasn't worried. And I'm like, there was a guy who was 34 who dropped dead with it. And again, he had no underlying conditions either. So you must be either incredibly brave, incredibly confident or incredibly stupid. Mm. Or all three. But he was well up for it. Didn't think there would be a problem. I don't think you can tell. Plus the fact people are now finding that they can get it twice. That's a thing. And the other thing is what they're calling a long tail COVID, which is people are reporting 3-4 months on that they still can't breathe and they've still got issues. So they're maybe back on their feet and they can walk around now, but the breathing isn't back to normal. The oxygenation isn't back to normal. They've still got the cough, or all of a sudden the lack of taste and smell will come back. It's dangerous out there. I certainly wouldn't be risking it, put it like that. I can't imagine having that much money, Kim. And to be honest, I don't think I want that much money. It would only bring with it decisions of what to do with it. And obviously, in his case, he is a person we all know. But just think about the security you would need to stop people breaking in to steal what you don't particularly want in the first place. No, you can have too much money. Just enough to be comfortable is all we need. China and Russia have got their vaccines up and running. I don't think not taking it is an option in China and Russia either. I think it's here, you're taking it. It seems like Audible has added Audible Plus, their version of Kindle Unlimited, as part of the subscription. Oh, I shall have to go and have a look at that. There is a very good reason for that. I will go and have a look.
See you, Johnny.
Good night, Jonathan. Right, where are we? Not factoring in the interactions between the two drugs. He's not factoring in much, actually, is he, Simon? I mean, he may come out of it, you know, smelling of roses, that he might get a Nobel Prize for being there and being willing to do it. But also, you have to think of the ramifications of that. I'm assuming, because he didn't mention it, but I'm assuming, therefore, he's not married with children. But, you know, he might still have parents or family who would miss him if he went. I really... rather him than me, let's put it like that. Because the thing is, what's so annoying, people like him are prepared to put their life on the line to test this. And other people are out having a rave because it doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. There was a 28-year-old woman in my mum's area who got the world's first double lung transplant and got her lungs nuked by COVID. I mean, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? It is heartbreaking. I'd have thought she'd have needed to be in lockdown really soon. Mind you, if she got it before it was known to be a thing, then it's not surprising, is it? I wonder if they'll do for the ones really badly affected by COVID eventually. Would that be one of the underlying conditions where they would give you a lung transplant? And can you imagine... you need a transplant, maybe a heart and lung transplant or something, and your lungs are perfectly fine, but for reasons best known to themselves, they want to give you a heart and lung transplant. And then you find out that the lungs that you get weren't as good as the lungs that you had. You only had a heart condition and now you've acquired a lung issue. I can well see that happening. It's a disaster just waiting to happen. Simon. The sleeping tablet and laxative combo on their own, no problem, taken together rather more than you bargained for. Yes, particularly if you are in a very deep sleep. She was one of the ones who wasn't wearing a mask and partying. Oh, where do these people, where are their brains? I can't understand that. Where are their brains?
Have you read the details of what happened to Harry Maguire's sister?
No, can honestly say not. A prize as much.
She was injected by a substance by a group of Albanians and immediately fainted.
I heard she'd fainted, but I didn't know there was an injection involved.
That could have been. Is it Mayadil?
Rehypnol.
Yeah, the date rape drug.
Yeah.
And one policeman alleged that whilst at the police station, this brings us back to money again. Do you know who I am? I am the captain of Manchester United. I am very rich. I can give you money. I can pay you. Please let us go.
I'm sorry, but...
so you do need money for those situations.
No, because I wouldn't have been there in the first place. Just saying. When you look back, you know, historical stuff, like the Spanish flu and the Black Death and all of those things. I don't know about you, but when... I don't even think I covered them in history at school. My history classes were absolutely atrocious, completely worthless. But afterwards, when you hear about these things and then you start looking at them and researching, in my head, I'm thinking like, OK, so the Spanish flu, so nobody went out. I envisaged complete lockdown because they actually got rid of it. And, you know, we're looking back at a time like the plague. I don't think there was much in the way of inoculations for it, but they got rid of it. So in my head, everyone was in complete lockdown. And I'm just thinking, you know, in 100 years, 200 years, people look back at this, maybe they will think that someone should do like video diaries of what's actually going on. People are acting as though this is not a thing. And yet I did some maths on the figures they released today. They only released very basic ones.
Oh, we're off again.
Oh, are we building next door again? Maybe he's drilled that many holes, the house is falling down. That wouldn't surprise me, actually. No, I did some maths with the figures they released, and they're working on infections within a certain area, within a certain number of people. So I thought, right, pen, So I sat there and I made out the figures that they'd given us for particular areas and stuff. And I took an average across them. Then I multiplied it by the number of people in the country and put in like a 1%, 2% variation on it. And I got to the fact that there was, at the moment, I think it was 540 infections per 100,000, which I then calculated out. And it came out to the daily death rate being 560 a day. And they're not saying that. And I'm thinking they're putting out figures, the daily figures that say there were three people died today. But if you actually look at the figures they're putting out locally and then work out an average of those, they're a mile off. At the same time, they're saying, get the children back to school. It's safe. It's safe. And the parents are like, no, it's not. It's a complete carve up. I can't believe it's a global pandemic, really. The way people are behaving. I want my holiday. What was he doing on holiday? The season starts in 3 weeks, doesn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, normally there's a 6 week, let's get fit thing. They go back to training 6 weeks before kickoff. So what's he doing in Greece on holiday anyway?
We've only just finished the season.
And it shows you, I mean, there are people who say that people trafficking is absolutely huge. And people like you and I are like, is it? And you've got no experience of it. But when you've got Albanian gangs wandering around nightclubs trying to take advantage of girls who may not be, you know, 100% with it at the moment because they're as high as a kite, you can see maybe this is what they're talking about and this is how it happens.
Yeah.
I can't see him actually saying, do you know who I am? I'm rich.
Apparently that could have been lost in translation. He could have been asking to pay a fine to be released. That's what the defence are arguing. So I think that answers Simon's question in the chat.
Oh, for crying out loud. Oh, one of Kim's local hospitals has been infecting people. I can't understand that. I really can't. One from the perspective of the people involved, but I'm not sure if it would prove as much as the medics would like it to prove. Because by definition, I see what you mean. Not deliberately. Not deliberately. We've had that reported as well. But
I was going to say I read that today.
About 4 months after it actually happened, good grief, I thought that was deliberate. Mind you, the way they've been going on, it might as well be deliberate.
Something like 3 out of 10 people have got it in via hospital.
Which doesn't surprise me.
No.
I mean, I've always said in hospitals, whenever I've had the misfortune to visit a hospital, I visited my grandmother and we went in with Mum, obviously. She was taken in. We then went back home to sleep for the night. And then we went back the following morning. And we're walking along this corridor. It's a huge, huge hospital, this thing. They open the doors and you walk in and it's like a furnace. I swear you could grow anything in there. You know, it brings new meaning to potted plants. It must have been over 100. It was boiling hot. I mean, I appreciate you can't keep people freezing, but there is a happy medium. And heat just exacerbates most issues. It was just absolutely boiling. But there's reports in there of all sorts. When my grandmother was in, my mum went to visit her. And he couldn't believe they do it on purpose. Hey, some people will. You know these angels of death? I guarantee you there will be stories coming out. My mum went to visit my gran and in this was 1998, they didn't kick you out every 2 minutes trying to get you back home back then. So gran had been in there and the first week she got talking to this lady opposite who obviously wasn't that well, but was holding her own. About 4 weeks into my grandmother's stay, it was established that this woman had been in, I think it was 5 weeks at that stage, and she started getting worse. Now, she'd gone in with some arm complaint, maybe a fall or something like that. The week after, she was laid flat and she wasn't moving. And Mum's saying to Gran, she's looking worse. Next day, Mum goes in and she's disappeared. And Mum said, she all right? And my Gran said, oh, yeah, they had to take her in for an op today. So by this stage, the woman had been in hospital for 6 weeks. So Mum said, well, what up? Because if it was important she had an operation, why would you wait 6 weeks to do it? You know, maybe a week or two, but more than that? I don't think so. So Gran said, oh, they've taken her down to have it amputated. And Mum's like, what, her arm? After 6 weeks? They've been treating the arm for 6 weeks. And my gran said, no, her leg. And Mum said, there was something wrong with her leg. And there wasn't when she arrived. And they had to amputate it. So apparently it turned out she caught some flesh-eating bugging thing while she was in hospital and that had to cut her leg off. The arm healed fine. But she went out, obviously, with one leg. So can you now appreciate my disinclination to visit a hospital full stop? Tells me the staff is not donning and doffing correctly or the air system is contaminated. That's the point, isn't it? Isn't that where Legionnaires comes from?
I think it is, isn't it?
We've had various outbreaks of Legionnaires and it always seems to be the air conditioning stroke water system and they have to flush the whole thing out. In fact, there was a piece on our news about a month ago about hotels, and there's this hotel, beautiful hotel, in its own grounds, so a little bit like one of the Warners, but possibly more boutique than that, wouldn't have held as many people. And obviously they were all furloughed. I nearly said siloed, same thing. Same principle. But there was one guy who was, he wasn't the caretaker, he had a different job, but he was basically caretaking this thing. And he said, oh well, it keeps me busy. You're like, well, what is there to do? There's no guests. So you might need to sort of go round and dust the place once every couple of weeks. But more than that, not sure. And he said every week, and there was something like maybe 160 rooms, every week he had to go and flush the toilets and run the taps in case it all ended up with Legionnaires. And I thought, because obviously it happens with standing water. And I'm thinking, what a job. And it said it took him all day, you know, to walk round, turn a tap on, walk to the next one, turn a tap on, walk to the next one, then go back to the first one, turn the tap off. What a job. And that's maintenance that a hotel normally doesn't have to pay for, because each room has guests. And when a guest goes in a room, they're going to use the facilities. And using the facilities was now something they had to pay somebody to do. Which is crazy. When you think of these hotels being stuck like that for months on end, it just reminded me of The Shining. Right, Tracy's son got appendicitis after being in hospital for over 5 weeks with a motorbike accident. Do you think it's like being there? That happened to me. Well, not with appendicitis, thankfully. I'd gone in to have an operation and I think I was four. And I felt terrible when they'd done it. I really did feel awful. But awful in a like sick way. Not awful in a pain way from the operation. Just really, really sick. I couldn't look at a TV. Looking at a bright light was like blinding. So I'm just lying there thinking, oh, you know, take me now. I felt really terrible. Turned out I'd managed to catch, I think it was measles or German measles while I was in there. I'd already been inoculated, but caught it anyway. And they had to send me home in case they infected everybody else. I'm like, you cheeky blighters, somebody infected me. You know, I didn't have it before I went in. Hospital's terrible, terrible place to be. Awful. Oh, so your mum's had Legionnaires twice. I have heard that's really serious. They seem to, the environmental health over here, which is like a department of the local council, descend if there's even the suggestion of an outbreak of Legionnaires. Never had much experience with it myself, but, you know, when it's mentioned on the news, you're like, oh, that's serious. And it's always like, and 60 people have been affected. A lot of the time here, it seems to be leisure centres where there's swimming baths, which also, No, not the public ones anyway. I might go to a private one, but swimming baths freak me out. They should technically be really safe, shouldn't they, when it comes to catching anything, but they don't seem to be. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing? Let me know. it's typical because you're forcibly inactive. You are. Back then, it was you sat in bed all day. They didn't try to drag you out. Now they're dragging you out of bed an hour and a half after a hip replacement. So I guess that's better in a way. Thing with hospitals to me is they are, I mean, I am going back a few years because I try and avoid them at all costs, but very dictatorial. They treated everybody identically and were not all the same. So they seemed to totally understand people who, this was a classic on the ward I was on. The consultant would come round in the morning and it'd be like, and how are you? And how are you? And how are you? And he'd say like, okay, so you can go home today. And like this lady said, I don't want to. I'm enjoying it. You know, I've got peace and quiet. Can I not stay for another day? And he said, okay then. And I'm thinking from opposite, no, get psyched down straight away. She's clearly card carrying insane. To me, that was a sign of a bigger problem. And it wasn't physical. It was mental. But he went round and that was the general consensus. You know, while I'm in here, I'm all right. I'm not having to do the pots and look after the children. So while it might make sense to me, somebody who was like, can't get out fast enough, that was insanity. So he comes round to me and it's like, can I go home today? That was the only question I had. I'm going home today or not? No, I think we want you to stay another day. And I always thought it was some kind of power trick with them, that those who wanted to go were forced to stay, and those that they were trying to get rid of, they didn't want to go. They're trying to get them out faster than they felt they needed to be got out. To me, one or other of us needed a psyche valve, and I don't think it was me. I think wanting to go home is perfectly sane and logical. Wanting to stay in hospital, however, no. And plus the fact, you know, would these same people do that if we had a system like America where you pay? You are, yes, of course you can stay another night. That'll be another $3,000. This is a National Health Service. If you're fit, out. Simple as that. That somebody else needs that bed. That's why we have a waiting list. But the doctor was just, oh, okay then. I thought, that doctor needs dealing with. If he did that on that ward where there was like 24 beds, and out of the 24 beds, 16 people went to stay for an extra day, that's 16 operations that can't happen because you've got some imbecile sat in a bed thinking it's Butlins. Don't understand it. He lost most of his heel foot after scraping across tarmac. Ooh. Naughty. That, you know, I tingle all over just thinking about that. I went on holiday once, you know. My mum went mad with me. I was a real tomboy. And I'd fallen and I'd scraped my knees. The first time you do that, you know, it's bad enough. But on the holiday, I did it again. I went sailing across this thing. And my leg, it just looked disgusting. And she was like, you know, you're in a little pretty dress and you've got these knees like a lad who'd been climbing a tree. But the second time you do it, where you kind of disturb the first time you've done it, oh, it turned nasty. So Tracy, that's awful. Oh, no. We were told patients immobilised like him often got appendicitis. Why? I didn't know that. Wow. I wonder if that's to do with toxins in it. Gosh, no, never heard of that. Ooh. Anthony, when I'm in hospital, I want to go as fast as possible. Me too, Anthony. It's like, wheel me out of the theatre and stick me in an ambulance, I'm done. They're just not taking into account that the people who want to stay are a certain mentality. And while that mentality might be present in 90% of the population, there is another at least 10% of us who can't get out fast enough. But they consider that to be insane. The more you want to leave, the more they want to keep you in because clearly there's something wrong with you. No, that's just me normally. Never wanted to be here in the first place. It didn't help matters that at that point, it was May. It was the early May bank holiday, which is like the first week in May. And I had my finals the first week in June. And I was trying to revise. And they only stuck me, obviously, here. Wards back then were ordered by gender. So they stuck me on the women's ward. Oh, no. It was yak, 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 yak. It was children. It was childbirth. It was hideous. And I was like, make it stop. So I said, you know, can I not stay in this room that I was in, which was a side ward? And it was, yes, you can stay in the side ward. And the next minute they came in and moved all my stuff and put me in with the other 23 idiots. So by the end of that day, I was done. I was done. I was prepared to escape. This was why they took your clothes off you. That was why you couldn't get out, because they had your clothes. But why not acknowledge that that maybe it's only 1 in 10, but there is a person who just wants to go home, and it would be better if their mental health was better, then their physical health would follow. Instead of which, you're making me stay in this place, saying it's dangerous for me to go home. It's no more dangerous than staying because I'm going round the bend. But they don't appreciate that. But no, they never told us we might get appendicitis. I was up and walking around after about 6 hours. But 4 days in, when they wouldn't let me out, I decided to go on strike. I took to my bed and wouldn't get out. If I'd have known, Tracy, I'd have jumped out. But luckily, I still have my appendix, so I need to be very careful about that. So Kim says, when she had her thyroid removed, they made me stay overnight, and in the morning said I could leave as soon as I walked around the hall 3 times. Bless. That's brilliant. At least it gives you something. If you can do that, then you're off. And out you went. The rule for us was you could go when you could walk up a flight of stairs. Thing was, they wouldn't even let me try. And I thought, that is so unfair, because if I can do it, why can't I go? But no, you had to go up the stairs. When I said, right, I'm off, which I signed myself out, it wasn't like, would you like me to walk up the stairs? Of course I could walk up the stairs. Don't be ridiculous. They did tell me I wouldn't be able to drive for 3 months. So that night was a Saturday night, and my dad drove me down to my revision course, which was why I was gagging to get out of the door. Got work to do. I haven't got time for this. He drove me down and drove me back. But the following week on the Friday, he would have had to have taken time off work or used holiday. And I don't think he had any holiday left. So he said, well, you know, what are we going to do about getting you there? And they were looking at trains and stuff. And I'm like, I'm driving. And he said, but you're not supposed to drive for 3 months. I said, trust me, Dad, I'm driving. And I did. And I was absolutely fine. They're far too overprotective, I say. So Deb says she'd been in hospital for serious surgeries. Few of the times you ask to stay another day or two, but most of the time you want to go home as fast as you can. I think if it's a medical thing, if you're feeling a bit dodgy on your feet or just not 100%, then there's nothing wrong with asking to stay. But these women were literally up, clothed and dressed, sat in a chair all day, yakking like the three witches on the heath. The only reason they wanted to stay was to stay with their new besties to talk about childbirth and annoy me. There was nothing wrong with them. I mean, if you can get out of bed and you can get dressed and you can sit and you can yak, there's nothing wrong with you. When the doctor had gone, oh, well, he'll have to look after the kids for another day, won't he? I won't tell you what I was saying. Anthony says, there's evidence to show that people recover quicker once they get out of bed and can get dressed. True, true. But, you know, if you can, might want to get home. I certainly improved tenfold when I got home. And the same happened to my dad. They had him in towards the beginning of his cancer diagnosis. And he had terribly swollen hands. And they were like, doctor after doctor came in, looked at him, poked, prodded and went and walked out. It was like a plumber's. Over here, we have a thing called a plumber's merchants. If you go into a plumber's merchants, you're looking for like plumbing equipment. And they do this kind of sucking in of air through the teeth. And they're about to tell you that, you know, it's older than Methuselah and you're going to need a new one. And these doctors were like that. And literally 6 of them in a day. And mum's watching them. And she says to the nurse in the end, you know, why are there all these doctors coming in and out and no one's doing anything? And she said, oh, well, you know, they've come in and they've had a look and their area of speciality, they can't do anything for him. And mum was like, OK. So she said, was any a physio? And the girl said, oh, yes, the last one was the physiotherapist. She can't do anything either. So we'll just have to wait and see if this swelling goes down. And mum's looking at her as though, oh, fair enough. In the end, they said, well, you know, he's going to have to go home, but we'll book him in for 10 days, you know, and he'll be the same when he comes back. But we'll think of a plan. We'll think of a workable plan to reduce the swelling on his hands. So Mum gets him home and she's like, right, we're going to start eating properly now. So lowered the salt, more water, more this, more that. He goes back in 10 days and they think, looking at the pictures they've got and the file, that it's the wrong person because his hands were back to normal. And one of these specialist nurses, they'd got this appointment with a specialist cancer nurse who dealt with like hand swelling, feet swelling. And she said to Mum, what did you do? So Mum said, well, just what I thought was right. Why? She said, I've never seen anybody manage that. She said, including me. So Mum just looked wide-eyed and was like, yeah, out the door quick. She just did the right thing, which is what we said with you, wasn't it? Is there anything naturally we can do? Not eat something, drink something, you know, more exercise, something like that. Debbie says, after hearing and reading all these stories, I'm feeling incredibly blessed that I'm healthy. Never had to go to hospital, even have your wisdom teeth. I don't remember having my wisdom teeth out. I think they probably came through into the gaps that I already had. But that, at least that wasn't something that I had to face as well. They want you up and walking so you don't develop blood clots, get to your lungs, and so you don't get pneumonia. True, and I've got no problem with that. But, you know, once you can get up and walk around, then you should be making way for other patients. Simon had to have a gallbladder removed. The anaesthesiologist told me to count backwards from 100 before the op. Apparently, I did amazingly well and got to 74. Wow! When I last had anaesthetic and had to do the count back, it was count back from 10. And I don't think I got to 7. Whoa! You are clearly, clearly Superman, Simon. Oh, Deb says she always completely refuses home nurse help. The nurses are crazy and think you're stupid because you're in recovery mode. Totally, Deb. That's it. I remember asking one of the nurses who came to sort my dad out, and she was a district nurse, and a district nurse in the UK is like a mobile nurse, but they tend to have way more experience than hospital nurses. So I stopped her on the way out and I said, have we got any update on, you know, the monitor he's wearing about these fits he's having? And she would just look like wide-eyed and innocent. I said, the hypoxia fits. And she's like, hypoxia? And I had to explain it. I thought, OK, don't let this one anywhere near him. This one should still be working on plastic models. Oh, dear. You shouted something like 71 mid-operate and scared the living out of them. Oh, Simon, only you. Only you. There's different levels of consciousness, isn't there? I know how I got away with it. I'd been working. I was doing my exams, obviously, that at that point. But the year before in the summer, and the year before that in the summer, I'd worked for the only, at the time, specialist medical malpractice lawyer in the UK. And I had got lots of experience reading about cases, particularly anaesthesia awareness cases. So I knew all of the tricks. And the anaesthesia awareness cases, 99% of them are women. And I clock this as I'm reading the files and organising them into class actions and stuff. I'm like, why is there so many women? More than men. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they have more operations. But that didn't make sense. But there was way more women. So I carried on with the research and everything. And they give you anaesthetic by weight. And they should weigh you. But they were shortcutting in certain hospitals and not weighing you. They were asking you what you weighed. Well, women were underestimating. Obviously, that's why you should be weighing them. So they weren't actually getting enough anaesthetic to knock them out because they'd knocked half a stone off. Me, obviously with that knowledge under my belt, added a stone on. I didn't wake up for hours. But you know what? At least I didn't wake up on the table either. It's scary. There's a checklist, a procedure you are supposed to weigh the patient. Don't ask them because they're going to lie. So that's why it was 99 to 1 women. Unbelievable. Oh, Anthony, who was born with a congenital heart defect. Congenital meaning from birth, and I once went into A&E, and the doctor said, how long have you had your congenital heart defect? Oh, these doctors, you do wonder. You totally do wonder. Oh, you had a totally black foot up on a stool in A&E and the doctor asked what the problem was. This sounds like our first vet, our very, very first vet. When we took the dog in, and he obviously knew he was a he, the files are blue for boys and pink for girls. Little bit on the sexist side, but, you know, never mind. At least they know one way or the
what
other.
What about gender fluid dogs?
They're working on the bits and pieces. So unless the bits and pieces are gender fluid, they have them as boys and girls. So he stood there with this blue folder in his hand and he said, how's she doing? And I'm like, OK, we're leaving. There's the dog in front of him. Believe you me, there was no, because May didn't have as much fur at the time, was there? Yeah. You could see his batteries. I thought, no, it's time to leave. This one, clearly, no, don't let them near another dog. They are a little bit of a cross-check, aren't they? No, I think it does actually make sense. Maybe not pink, but you know, it does make sense. They maybe should have different ones for cats and dogs or something, you know, just in case someone doesn't know what a cat is, because given the vets we've had, I do wonder. No, I mean, can you imagine taking him in to be done? And he thinks he's a girl. Should be a tiny little pink folder for lady chihuahuas. Oh, I found something last night, talking of little lady chihuahuas. I found something. Where on earth's that link gone? I know where, I'll try and find it. Right, see if I can find it. Indeed I have. Right, I've got this link. After we were talking last night, this was the spookiest, spooky thing. Because I obviously, we were only talking about it. I hadn't done anything about it. I hadn't gone searching or anything. But we were talking about All Creatures Great and Small and the fact that there's a new version of it. And it's out on the 1st of September. I goes to YouTube, having not typed a thing in anywhere, to be greeted with, you watch this, you know, you might like this. And it was the official trailer for the new version of All Creatures Great and Small. So I'll put the link in to YouTube. I watched the trailer to find out that the person playing, I think it's Siegfried, is Samuel West. Samuel West being the son of Timothy West and Prunella Scales that we were talking about yesterday. How's that for symbiotic? But it actually looks really good. It does look very, very good. I would never have thought of Samuel West to play that role. I would have thought he was too young. But it did look really good. So I've put that, I found it on my ITV thing and I have set it to record. So definitely have a watch of that. Don't know if anybody, the tin fish guy, no, not him, not him. The series that we're going to get, I think it's Channel 4 or 5. Do you get that in the States at the same time or not? Does it come on afterwards? It's got a watermark on it and it says PBS Masterpiece. Now, I think Masterpiece is a UK production company. And it says coming on PBS in January 2021. Now, is PBS a channel in the States? Because if it is, you're not getting it for 6 months, which is criminal. Oh, I think what might have to happen there is that it is recorded here and disseminated in some kind of way. Let's just say that. But it did look very, very good. Is it public broadcast service system? No, not sure. No idea. No idea. There's some clips as well on YouTube. You know, again, you've watched this. You definitely want to watch that. That were from the original series, which I told you I'd never seen. But I'm not going to watch the original one. I'm going to watch the new one first. Because you know what people are saying. Public broadcasting system. Oh, in that case, that looks like it's not a paid for thing. But you've got to wait 6 months for it. Do you know, that was like us when we didn't get 24 on the same day. Mm. And you basically had to hermetically seal yourself in the house, which obviously right now wouldn't be a problem at all. But there was no Facebook and no Twitter and no talking to anybody, no newspapers. You couldn't, because you were waiting sometimes up to 48 hours to watch the next instalment of 24. And so much happened in an hour. You didn't dare. You didn't dare look at anything because there'd be a spoiler. Matt Bites After Hours question. Do you remember which episode you taught us about seeing a photo behind the lettering? You don't remember what it's called. Probably the... Was the word holiday? And there was an image.
Say, was it your...
Could well be YouTube the holiday one. Thing. I didn't know they did Sesame Street. Do remember Sesame Street, though. Right, let me see if I can find it. I did it twice. I did a dedicated one for it. And I did it as part of something
else. You mean you
else.
Weren't reading a book?
Hmm?
You weren't reading a book.
What book?
When Sesame Street was on.
Oh, I'll say the only the odd one. It did have to go off, obviously, at 12:30. Because Crown Court came on and I was watching Crown Court. right. What would I have called it? Holiday, probably. Let's see how good Notion is at finding what I need.
Or YouTube trailer.
Look at that. Holiday animation. Just saying. Show production. Let's find the show. This was quite a way ago. 17. After I was 17. We were looking at Affinity Designer. We did the Boolean Ops. Then we did the holiday artwork. And then I took it into Camtasia. And I took it into ScreenFlow. Before finally taking it into Keynote. So it was after hours 17.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, I can. Let's see if the system's working, Mike. There it is. And there's the timings. But we haven't got the links on the timings, have we?
No.
But I can definitely give you the link. Let's give you the direct YouTube link. There you go. After hours 17. Right. It's a wonderful piece of video relating to PBS and Sesame Street. Oh, maybe you can, Simon, because you're on a roll now, eh? Catchy? Mm. That's who've got Vera and Prime Suspect. Prime Suspect's a classic. It is. Have you had Line of Duty in the States? I wonder if that's a little bit British. It's more like intrigue rather than being a murder mystery. It's about, what's it called? AC-12, which is supposedly a department of the police that police the police. So it's all corruption and stuff, but it is a very good series. I think we're up to series 5 now. Is that one that you get in the States? Line of Duty. That's a really good one. I'm trying to think about anything else that's decent at the minute. I can't see there being any more Lewises. Not after Lawrence Fox went rogue. he was playing Hathaway, which was the... actually, Hathaway, you know, there's a story behind that. Do you know it?
No.
Lewis was a character in Morse, being made based on the books. And when John Thor died... That was the end. And he'd actually already filmed the last ever episode of Morse because Colin Dexter, who wrote the books, had polished Morse off. But they decided to keep the franchise going in a kind of way to build a whole new character into it. And that became Lewis. And the character was played by Lawrence Fox. And he's called Hathaway. His surname's Hathaway. I think it's Sergeant Hathaway. And I remember thinking as I saw it written down, I wonder, but many, many moons later, it was revealed as like a secrets behind Lewis that he was named, the character Hathaway was named after John Thor. Being in the middle of it, if you're with me. That is a very, very good one. But to me, there was legs in that. I thought that could have carried on. There was talk about 3 times it came to the end of the series and it was like, no, we're not going to do another one. And then they did. So I had high hopes until Lawrence Fox was interviewed earlier this year over. Now, the interview was first. He went on a YouTube program. I won't say it's far right based, but it's definitely to the right. And he was interviewed and he made his feelings about certain things known. Then he got, after that, he got invited onto Question Time. A bit like Timmy should. Elaine's Question Time. Absolutely. But he was invited onto Question Time. And I think really the BBC were looking to stir the pot because his opinions had already been put out there in this YouTube video. So he gets on this programme and there's a lady on there that it was before the Black Lives Matters thing, but after the Me Too. So it was sandwiched between the two. And she was on there saying about prejudice against black people and that he didn't know, he could not possibly know what that was like, because Lawrence Fox comes from the Fox acting dynasty and they've been, you know, millionaires since forever, that he went to a private school and had never had any experience, that he could not possibly understand. And he replied, you're being as prejudiced against me as, you know, a middle-aged white man, as you are accusing me of being towards you. And it kicked off. Now, actually, his original sentiment, you could say that, could he legitimately feel like that? I think he could, because she was having a go at him. But everybody jumped on it. And afterwards, his own union turned his back on him. So I think he's going to struggle to get work. At the moment, he was interviewed again on the first programme that interviewed him the first time. So he went back for a second dabble with them. This is not question time. And they asked him how life had been in the 6 months since the previous interview and what had happened. And it was shocking. I had no idea how bad it had got. And he said to him, so you don't have any work at the moment? And he said, no. And he said, what are you living on? And he said, basically my tax money that they've given me a 3 month holiday on. And once I've got to the end of that, I don't know. It was shocking. Anyway, much as I'd like to see another Lewis, I can't see it unless the situation calms down a bit. I think we do have an Acorn channel. I think it's on Amazon. And there's another one. I think BritBox is available here as well, but pretty much it's all repeats from the UK and we've all seen them. But the Acorn one, I'm not at all sure that isn't on Amazon. There are a few weird channels on there. There's one called Stars with a Z. So if you go to Prime Video in the UK, you get different channels. So they tell you like originals and what's coming up next and stuff. Movies. And then you can rent certain things that aren't included with your Prime subscription. But somewhere down here, there were channels and there was like a series on it. And I thought, oh, that one looks all right. And then I realised it was one of these extra things. You had to pay extra for it. I'm having a look. I think I told them not to show me stuff that weren't included with Prime. So I might not be seeing it anymore. MGM's a channel that we've got here. Can we actually see the channels? You're kidding me. Down the bottom, we've now got a channel thing dedicated to the US National Conventions 2020. So we've got 4 days of the Democratic National Convention that we can watch. Yeah, I don't think many of the Americans are sitting watching them all, so I think I'll skip that. There's one, Hey You. Hey You, it's called, Reality on Demand. Acorn TV, so we've got that one. There's Sundance Now. There's a crime and investigation channel. Stars Play, it's called. So Stars with a Z. And I think there is actually the History Channel now, because we were discussing that a few months ago. And I said it wasn't included with Sky anymore. Let's have a look if it's actually included in Prime. Can we watch this for free or do we have to pay? Let's have a look. Watch the History Channel by starting your 7-day free trial. No idea how that is. Nope. Doesn't say how much it is. And you know, I would love that as well. Oh, look at that series that I now want to watch. But I don't want to pay for any more stuff. Channels. Why not just tell me how much it is so I can make a decision? We also have Arrow. No idea what that is. This is all new to me, this. What's Mobby or Mubi? Oh, possibly Dodgy. Lolita's on it. Let's skip that one. What else have we got? Hallmark TV. That's something with a subscription. Oh, there's all the Christmas films on it. I'm definitely going to have to be doing the Christmas films very soon. You know, having got the tree up, I've got time. No, there's quite a few channels. They don't seem to be... I don't know if these are American or not. Chair yoga. Getting down and dirty with your chair. If I tried that on my chair, the chair would go. No, you can't do that on a chair with wheels. Definitely not. What's the biggest series in the States at the moment? Oh, there's a Be Fit channel. Whoa, that one looks a bit dodgy. Here TV. That's definitely dodgy. It's a fitness channel. Jane Fonda from the year dot. Oh, and it's subscription. But again, it doesn't give you any prices whatsoever. Why do people hide the price? I might be inclined to pay a couple of pounds for this, but if I don't know how much it is, well, what am I supposed to do? Take a blind trial and then remember to can it at the end. Oh, can't be doing with all of that. Right. The guy is a little odd, but his heart is huge. Right, I'm going to get that link. There we go. Right, it's in. It's in. I'm wondering if this is a video that I've seen, Simon. No. No, it wasn't. I will go watch that later. The one I saw was like motivational speaking. And this guy obviously had congenital problems and he was very tiny. I don't think he had any arms or legs. And he was very tiny. And he had to be kind of lifted and carried everywhere. But he was the most amazing motivational speaker you have ever seen. Totally stunning. So what's big in the States? Mr. Rogers. No, I don't think we get that here. I wonder if it's on Now TV. Let me have a look. There's so many programmes now and so many different ways of viewing them. Like when The Crown comes out and it's the whole series and you can binge watch it. You know, in a way, it was actually quite nice when you used to watch it a week at a time. What's strange about that now, when I think about it, is there's YouTubers who are putting out a series of videos. So maybe like a 3-part, 4-part series. And you have to wait for part two. Whereas traditionally, YouTube's been like on demand. And now the TV stations are putting stuff out en masse. It's bizarre. Seems to have changed. Right, Mr. Rogers. Let's see if we've got it here. On my Now TV thing. I'm going to need another voucher for that as well because the price has gone up, Mike. Let's have a look. No, it's not on there. Let's have a look if it's on Prime Now. Good grief, there's so much on here. Right, Prime Video, Mr. Rogers. What's it about? You know me and my crime stuff. Am I looking at the right thing at all? No, it's not on there either. This is criminal. No, I'm not going to be able to see that one. Maybe it'll come on the normal TV. Who knows? I wish I could remember the name, Debbie, but he was wonderful. He was absolutely amazing. I saw a video last night working away and I popped one of my true crime channels on. And she was talking about a story that I had never heard of before. The lady's name was Mary Vincent. It was the most horrific crime I think I have ever heard of. In terms of she didn't die, which you would think was a good thing. But she was, don't like to say abducted. She accepted a lift, hitchhiking. I think it was the 70s. And this guy obviously then hit her over the head, stuck her in the back of the van. You can imagine the story. But once he'd finished with her, he had her kind of half out of the van. And she was holding on to him. I think he was trying to, like, push her over something. And she was saying, let me go. You know, I won't tell anybody. Let me go free. And he did no more than took an axe and cut both of her hands off. So he cut her arms, to be honest, just below the elbow and left her there to die. And this girl determined she was not going to die because if he did that to her, he would do it to somebody else and she would not let that happen on her watch. But obviously she was bleeding out virtually to death and she was in the middle of nowhere. So she set about thinking to herself, I'm going to climb up out of this. And she did. But she had to climb up an area and obviously she had no hands to do it anymore. So she put what was left of her arms in the mud and the dirt to stop the bleeding and then climbed up this embankment. She gets to the top and realises she's still in the middle of nowhere. So she heads off in the direction that she thinks is the best way to go. She had to walk for 3 miles. When she gets there, she can hear traffic at this stage. And she saw this car. So she's walking with her arms above her head, because if she didn't, she would bleed out. So, oh, and she's stark naked as well, because he took all her clothes. So she sees this car and it had like lads in it. And the car pulled up and she thought, brilliant, you know, I'll get some help. Obviously, as they pulled up and they saw the state she was in, they scarpered and just left her there. And that was it. That was like her last chance, because by this stage there was very, very few cars. So she drops down to the floor and she's just holding these arms up. So that was like all you could see, and hoping for the best. When a car turns up, and it was a couple who had taken a wrong turning. I don't know how this is possible. It wouldn't be in the UK. But they'd taken a wrong turning on the highway and ended up in the middle of a field. That takes some doing, that, doesn't it, Mike? But, you know, by the grace of God that they were there. And the lady says, you know, turn the engine off, I can hear something. And it was this girl calling for help. So they head over and they see the state she's in. They get her in the back of the car. They hair off looking for a phone, because obviously 70s, no mobiles. And call for an ambulance for her. And basically, well, they saved her life, but also she saved her life by all of the walking and the climbing and, you know, packing these wounds with basically mud. She survived. Unbelievably, America, what are you thinking? The guy, he got the maximum sentence, 14 years. Right, pardon. It was the first time, I think, in a crime thing that I've watched that I literally out loud said, what? I thought I'd misheard. I thought it was like 114 years. Because over here, you would very seldom find somebody. Now, I know she didn't die, but, you know, that's attempted murder by anybody's standards. It was just the grace of God she didn't die. The crime is still the same crime. Over here, it's incredibly unlikely. Not many people get what we call a full life term. And in America, you hear of like 390 years and no chance of parole. And you're like, that's what we should have here. That is what we should have. And we don't. It's a political decision whether they get a full life term. The judge can recommend, but it's the Home Secretary who actually determines whether they get this whole life term. Very, very, very few do get it. But 14 years for that. Whoa. So she obviously at this stage survives. She gives evidence against him. And he gets his 14 years. And as he's leaving court, he says to her, I'll be back for you. This girl was 15. She was, well, she lived the rest of her life, you know, while he was doing his 15 years. She does meet somebody. She has two children. And then they let him out for good behaviour after 8 years. I'm just sitting there absolutely speechless. But the girl took comfort from the fact she was hoping, obviously, he would get life and that she could stop anybody else suffering what she was suffering. By this stage, she got kind of prosthetic arms, but they were very much like just hooks on the end. How on earth she coped, I do not know. But she kept so upbeat and she went round schools, actually not just telling them about stranger danger, but showing them what could happen. So I'm assuming she saved plenty of lives like that. But once he'd been out for a while, a neighbour hears noise and looks out the window to see this guy and a girl fighting in a house. So he rings the police. So the police turn up at the door. And this guy answers the door, stark naked, blood all over him. And when the policeman says, you know, what are you doing? You're covered in blood and you're naked. The guy says, I'm cutting vegetables and I cut my finger. I mean, it's not funny, but what? Just as luck would have it, because obviously the policeman didn't have a warrant. And I know red hot on that in the States, no warrant, fruit of the poison tree. But the phone rang at that point. So the policeman had no basis upon which to go into the house, but the phone rang and the naked dude covered in blood went to answer the phone and left the door open, which meant the policeman could step through the door. And he saw the dead body of a woman sat upright on the sofa that this guy had just killed. And obviously, if he'd have been given a whole life term for the first one, that wouldn't have happened, which unfortunately meant that the girl from the first one got quite depressed about that. that, you know, she felt she wanted to save other people from what had happened to her. And they let the guy out and he basically did it again. Only this time she was dead. It was just unbelievable. He does actually get put away for that one for life. But by this stage, he was a pretty old guy as well at the time. I think he was probably in his late 50s when he attacked the first one. So by this stage, he's like 70. He dies in hospital age 74, and she's a bit peeved because she wanted to like try and work out what on earth was wrong with this guy, to help others in the future. But she said she turned around and she looked at her two boys, who by this stage were in their early 20s, and they were just so relieved this guy was dead that she said, fair enough, that's the end to it. But what an amazing, amazing woman. But when they said 14 years, it's the first time I've ever actually turned around. You know, I'm on my own late at night and just went, what? I wound it back. I thought it's got to have been 114. No, they let him out after 8 years because it good behaviour. Do you know who should be locked up? Parole officers. And the key thrown away. Somebody's done that. The fact that somebody has a mindset that is a possibility, that's enough for me. You're never going to be safe to be let out, as was proved. And that was only the one they found out about. Heaven knows what else he'd been up to in between being let out. And the lady from the first one, she was living quietly in a little village somewhere, a little town in quiet America somewhere. And she got so concerned that he would come after her, because he promised that he would, that she moved. And she moved with the help of somebody who obviously owned this place into somewhere that she figured he would never, ever dream of looking for her. And it was a closed down petrol station. And she lived there, you know, in fear of this guy coming back with two children. Unbelievable. But the courage that she showed, absolutely amazing. Amazing. This is where Simon parts ways with the turn the other cheek and forgiveness. Exactly. Exactly. The fact she is now happily living her life. But the thing was, she was an artist. She was a dancer and she wanted to be a dancer. She couldn't be a dancer after all of this, because although, you know, dancing feet, she was fine. They had to take half the muscle away from her leg to save an arm. So there was no way she could dance. And the other thing she loved doing was painting. And there was no way she could paint either. But many years later, after she'd had the children and stuff, obviously, I think what must have happened was she started teaching the children to paint. And the children, you can imagine children where they just accept you for as you are. The children must have been wanting her to paint and like popping a brush in this like hook that she had. And she took up painting again. And now she's painting again, which was a really nice outcome. But I can't deal with that. That was a life sentence, no matter what. They did change the law in the end and brought in this thing about 25 years for aggravated something or other, which obviously this would have been aggravated. But people who have the kind of sheer grit to get through situations like that, like the guy whose name is escaping me, that didn't have any arms or legs, they're just true inspirations. True inspirations. And I have no problem if somebody wants to lock up the idiots behind things like that and throw the key away. No problem whatsoever. Should just do the same to him. Seriously. Then maybe he would understand, because there's obviously something not firing in his head. Not firing at all. This guy actually had a daughter that was the same age as the girl involved. And he said to her, I've got a daughter. And she didn't know whether it was true or not. What does aggravated mean legally? That's an interesting one, that. There isn't actually a definition. I think it's a common law definition. So you would have GBH, an aggravated GBH, basically more serious. So if they can say, like, for an aggravated crime, where they need to make it. You might think, why don't they just make it very, very strict? So you instantly understand what it means. Sometimes they deliberately don't do that, because if you lock it down in the definition too much, then defence lawyers start arguing that, you know, oh, yes, it was really bad, but it doesn't come under the category of aggravated because it doesn't have a comma after it. So they try and leave it deliberate enough so you get a feel for it, but flexible enough so it can be applied when it needs to be applied. and the judge has a little bit of wiggle room to say, never mind the comma, never mind this, never mind that, it still applies. So just more serious in nature.
That's what Harry Maguire was done for. Aggravated assault.
That, and now in that case, aggravated would possibly mean, say he did exactly the same to a normal person, but in his case it was a police officer. The aggravated part is not anything to do with what he did, the thumping or with a knife or whatever it was, nothing to do with that, and more to do with the fact it's aggravated because it's a police officer. Another interpretation of aggravated might be a guy having a fight with another guy. Nothing aggravated in it. But if the person in question, if the victim is 104 and in a wheelchair, then that becomes aggravated. So aggravated is very, very vague, deliberately, to allow it to be applied in circumstances where you think like, OK, the legislation doesn't actually mention that specifically, but in our opinion, it would be aggravated because. So it gives the prosecution chance to argue that it's aggravated for particular reasons. That's what it means over here. In America, I'm not quite sure. Oh, I remember that. Ken Clark. Talking about rape and once and how terrible they are, but they're not all equal. And went on to say, to justify that view was horrendous to listen to, but I did understand his point. I get where you're coming from. A rape victim is going to tell you rape is rape is rape. But I get where you're coming from. In this circumstance, she was raped. What should you be given more time for? Raping somebody or cutting their arms off? And I know over here there have been outcries more times than I can calculate about low sentencing. One was known as the Ealing Vicarage rape, which I think was in the 80s, late 80s. It was three guys that broke into a vicarage in Ealing, as the name implies. The vicar was home, one of his daughters was home, and her boyfriend was home. And they'd broken in to rob the place, but seeing as though the girl was there, they decided they'd rape her. She was 21, I think. And the boyfriend got hit about the head, and he lost hearing in one ear. They did steal stuff and they also like hit the vicar with sticks or something. And then they disappeared. When the story came out, it was all over the papers. And one of the, I think it was the Sun. It would be the Sun, wouldn't it? One of our daily papers put a picture of the victim, the girl, on the front cover. She's entitled to anonymity, but obviously everybody knew who she was because it was one of the daughters of the vicar. So they put this picture on the front of the Sun, and all they did in terms of saving her privacy was put like a black block on the eyes. But if you knew this girl, you would know her. It was as simple as that. The Sun got themselves into such deep water for that on so many levels. It was unbelievable. Little did they know, or if they did, they didn't think of the legal ramifications of this. The girl was a twin. So did they actually have a picture of her or her twin sister? And even if they did, you know, the twin sister can say, that's not me and I shouldn't be on your paper. So they got into very hot water for that. But when it came to trial, in terms of what Simon's been saying about Ken Clark, when it came to trial, you know, all the details came out and it turned out that one of these guys was like the ringleader of the ones doing the robbery. It was one of the others that said, I'm going to take her up there and, you know. And this leader said, no, we're not doing that. You know, we're not animals. No, no. But the other two get out of the way and they did. And it also came out. Now, bear in mind, this came out after her picture's been all over the papers and everybody locally knew her name. It came out that she'd been a virgin, despite the fact she had a boyfriend, because she wanted to get married, you know, being the daughters of a vicar. So the boyfriend and her hadn't even, you know, so they didn't survive that. They split up. And then it came out what actually happened in there and the fact that this ringleader was telling them not to, right? He was just there to steal things. He actually got a longer sentence than the two rapists did. There's just no words. It's like saying property is more important, is more valuable. what that girl went through was horrific. Not the least of which was her own father. Yes, the vicar. You think, like, how much worse could this get? But she was in hospital, I think, recovering. And he was a bit of a, like, amateur TV enthusiast, news enthusiast, if you're with me. So when this thing, this story broke, and it was, like, so horrific, it was all over the news. They were interviewing the vicar, and it was on the news. And he would sit at home, and this was at the time, and it went rumbled on for weeks, because obviously they had to catch them. And then it went quiet for a bit, but then there was the trial. And this vicar would sit there with the news on, you know, with her sat there, with a stopwatch, and he was calculating how long the piece was. Oh, we got 3.5 minutes there. That's fabulous, isn't it? And you're thinking, the price of that was not just the trinkets that you lost, but what about your daughter? He was, I thought, card-carrying insane. But that was what he did. I mean, people did think that was a little bit on the weird side. She, in the end, came out and went public. She said it was all right, you know, anonymity, she would bypass it. And she did her story. Her name was Jill Sayward. And she did such a lot for rape crisis and positive thinking and all of the rest of it. She did go on to get married and have some kids. I think she got married twice. So she was must have been in her 40s. She'd done a lot of good work, amazing, amazing work. But I don't think, and that's not something that you ever get over. But while he's doing his timings and the interviews, one of the questions, oh no, they said, like, yeah, how's your daughter, basically? And he's like, yeah, she's fine, she's fine. And he actually made a comment that his daughter addressed later in her book. The comment he made was, well, it's better to be raped than be left scarred, because they had knives. And I sat there and looked, and I had my head in my hands. And I thought, not all scars are scars you can see, you muppet. Plus the fact, you know, right, so she's got a scar on her face. Plastic surgery? There's stuff that can be done for that. You can't give her peace of mind back, you muppet. And this was a vicar. I was incredulous. But they did get put away not long enough. There was an outcry. There was then a review and all the rest of it, as they do. But, you know, they got let out. She got a life sentence. Unfortunately, she died about 4 or 5 years ago, and just died suddenly, you know, with, like, I thought, you can't live with that knowledge for 90 years. You know, it's going to have that knowledge and living with it every day, and the fact your father's a complete muppet, you've got to process that day in, day out, day in, day out. It takes its toll. And she just dropped and she died, unfortunately. But she did leave such a legacy behind her. No, I wouldn't want him as my vicar either. There should have been a mass walkout, or they should have sacked him or something. It was criminal. He was creepy. I mean, who sits there with a stopwatch? Surely you, and he was, like, delirious. He was actually the story, because he would normally sit there with the stopwatch and compare who got most. Do you know, if back then there was, like, TikTok or Snapchat, he'd have been there, wouldn't he? The Snapchat vicar. Talk about loved his own publicity. But obviously that affected the entire family, including the boyfriend who ended up deaf in one ear. It's shocking. But I'd like to think things like that, you know, they only have to happen once and then something does change. But we still get stories about they're letting somebody out or whatever. The last one was the black cab rapist. Now, the black cab thing, the black cabs are such that they are the best of the best of the best. And you should be able to trust a black cab. And this guy was drugging women as they got in his taxi and raping them. They caught him. They put him away. He decided he was changing his name, but that's by the by. He reaches the end of his sentence. Well, no, actually, he doesn't. It's the parole board again, the imbeciles. They decide to let him out. He's got a release date. He's coming out. There was such a hue and cry this time. They didn't dare let him out, and he's still inside now. But, you know, parole shouldn't be by popular vote, should it? It should be by the parole board, cognizant of what the victims have been through, and is somebody genuinely fit to be let out? And somebody who had abused trust like that, that would also be something that would aggravate, make a crime aggravated. So if somebody picked up a girl outside a club and raped her, that would be rape. But it would be considered to be an aggravated crime if it was a black cab driver, because there is that element of trust. You should be able to trust a black cab driver. So therefore, you being in that position of trust, it would be an aggravated crime should you abuse that position. I know it's very flexible and all a bit vague, but it needs to be vague enough that it can apply in circumstances that could not possibly have been foreseen when the legislation was being put together. So that's why it needs to be interpreted. And that's why things go to appeal. It's not that we don't know what aggravated means. There is a legal definition of aggravated, but it needs to be interpreted against a whole range of new facts. So if you think about when I was doing my finals, the question on the criminal exam would be, you know, X has AIDS and deliberately goes out to infect women. Discuss. And is that murder or not? And you have to go through the definition of murder and whether it could be construed to be murder or not. And the thing was, back in 92, when I was taking my finals, would it be murder? Highly, highly unlikely, even if you could go through the definition of murder and put a tick in every box. Because the definition of murder back then was the unlawful killing of another with malice aforethought and death taking place within a year and a day after the event that caused death. And the year and a day thing was becoming increasingly problematic because people were on life support and they're heading up to a year and a day. They know who beat them to a pulp and the family have to make a decision whether to turn that person off and get the criminal up on a murder charge or leave it. And that's it. They get away with it scot-free. So the government did get rid of that, but that was only got rid of about 13 years ago. So in answer to it, it would have been yes, 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 ticks all the boxes, but death has to occur within a year and a day. And if it doesn't, then you're knackered. I know I'd have turned the TV off as well. That was a horrible, horrible story. But at least some good came out of it in terms of she was an amazing lady. Her book is probably still available. Was it called Me? Something like that. Let's see if I can find it. No, My Story, 1990 it was. I'm wondering when that would have been then. That seems quite soon afterwards. Let's have a look. 1986 it happened, so 4 years later. But the fact that she's like written the book, you know, the fact she's now dead, but we're talking about it, so it lives on. It lives on. Now that was him, the Reverend Michael. Idiot. I remember, I've not read the whole book, I don't think. I read the edited highlights. It's a difficult read, but all you can do to support her, I guess, is to read the story. She was an amazing lady. So, so sad that she died. And it's not often you see a book, is it, with so many reviews, where they're all 4 and 5 stars. Amazing. Well, we're on to true crime again, aren't we? You can see how I spend my time in the evenings. But Mike's disappeared with chicken. Lola is demanding with the chicken. So we must deal with Lola and her chicken. But we will be back with you tomorrow. Do not miss the show tomorrow night. Just saying. Can't say any more. Jonathan might be listening. Can't say any more, but don't miss tomorrow night's show. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
It's good night from Lola's chicken. We'll all...
That's because she left it out there and I stood on it.
We will all see you next time. Stay safe, guys.